A skilled nursing facility is intended as short-term rehab. So it's a very short-term stay, specifically focused on rehabilitating someone. Nursing homes are generally for long-term care services. So those individuals live in that nursing home, meaning they typically do not have another home or apartment or somewhere else that they might be able to live. Now, that's not always the case. Some people will stay in long-term care for a prolonged period of time before they might return to their other dwelling. But for a lot of folks, nursing homes are kind of end-of-the-road stop.
Hi, I'm Clarice Grody, and welcome to the Amplify OT podcast. I'm an occupational therapist by trade and a policy wonk by choice. This podcast is here to help you survive and thrive in the U.S. healthcare system through a better understanding of policy, advocacy, and value-based care. So, let's dive in.
If you've ever worked in a hospital or worked with adults, then this is definitely a question that has either come across your mind or you've been asked in terms of what is the difference between a skilled nursing facility and a nursing home. Often these terms are used nearly interchangeably, but that is somewhat problematic because they are actually two very different things. The reason it's confusing is because many facilities offer both services. So welcome back to the Amplify OT podcast. I'm Clarice, and let's dive into what exactly is the difference between a SNF, or a skilled nursing facility, and a nursing home. Before we dive into the details of the differences, though, I thought we'd go ahead and review some skilled nursing facility fast facts that I thought were absolutely fascinating. So this information is coming from a report of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, the Office of Health Policy, and it reports that in September of 2022, there were 15,151 nursing homes. Between those nursing homes and SNFs, they are serving more than 1.3 million residents. Now, in order to bill Medicare or Medicaid, you have to be Medicare certified or Medicaid certified. And about 2% of all those nursing homes, or 289 of them, are Medicaid only certified, meaning they only bill Medicaid. 4%, or 608 of them, are Medicare only certified, meaning they only bill Medicare. And about 94% of them, or over 14,000, are dually certified in Medicare and Medicaid. Another fact that I thought many of you would find very interesting is that most skilled nursing facilities are for profit. And I think I already knew that, but honestly, I was blown away by the number, which is 71.7%. 71% of SNFs are for-profit companies. 22.5% are nonprofit, and a little under 6 or 5.7% are government-owned. Another interesting little tidbit is that 63.5% are structured as corporations, and about 16% of them are LLCs. Another fact that, again, I probably already knew but found really interesting is that the 10 largest chains or companies that own skilled nursing facilities own over 10% of all SNFs. So there are 10 companies that own over 10% of all SNFs. 55.6% of SNFs are then owned by the remaining 597 chains, and then a third of the SNFs, or 33%, are independent. And of course, I'm going to reveal what the 10 largest companies are, and these should be names that you are probably familiar with or have at least heard of. So number one is Genesis Healthcare. They own 237 skilled nursing facilities, and they have 27,000 beds, and they operate in 22 states. Now, I'm not going to read all the stats for all the different nursing facilities because I don't think you want to listen to that, but I have attached this report in the show notes where you can look at the entire chart and also read the rest of the report and how the study was completed. So the rest of the top 10 list is number two is the Ensign Group. Three is Life Care Centers of America. Four is HCR Manicore. Five is Providence Group. Six is Consulate Healthcare, Independent Living Centers, Inspire Healthcare, Radiant Healthcare. That's all one company. Seven is the Evangelical Lutheran Good Samaritan Society. That's quite the name. Eight is the Trilogy Health Services. Nine is Saber Healthcare Group. And 10 is Signature Healthcare. And most of those companies have locations in nearly a third to almost 50% of the United States. There's also a nifty little chart showing the distribution of these skilled nursing facilities on the attached handout, and it's kind of interesting that Genesis is predominantly located on the West Coast, and the Ensign Group is fairly dominant on the West Coast and Midwest area. And in terms of some therapy-specific statistics, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics actually did a report for May of 2023 on occupational employment and wage estimates for nursing homes and SNFs. It's reported here that overall there are around a little under 1.4 million people working in nursing homes and SNFs. And of that about 1.4 million, about 35,000 of them are therapists. One thing that's definitely worth noting, though, is that this report does only list occupational therapists, physical therapists, and speech therapists. It does not have a separate indicator for OTAs or PTAs. So I don't know if they are including OTAs in this report. It looks like probably not, just based on the average hourly or annual wage. So if OTAs and PTAs are not included in that number of therapists at a SNF, then we can definitely assume that these numbers are underreported. So for occupational therapists, it lists that there are around a little under 10,000 OTs working in skilled nursing facilities. It reports that OTs are on average making around $48.81 an hour and around $101,000 a year. And again, keep in mind, that is an average. So I don't want to see comments of people telling me that there's no way they'd ever make $100,000, because that's how you get an average. There's got to be things below it, and there's got to be things above it. I was never a math whiz, but that is one thing that I do remember. Now, I'm sure you all are dying to know about the PT and speech therapy statistics. So for PT, it lists that there's around 12.5 thousand PTs working in SNFs. They make an average of $49 an hour and around $101,000 per year. So although their average hourly wage is reported as a little under a dollar higher than OTs, their annual wage is actually about $500 less than OT. So there's a fun fact for you. Now, for speech therapists, there is a report of about 5.7 thousand speech therapists working in nursing homes. They make, on average, almost $51 an hour, and the average salary is $108,000 a year. If you've listened to some of my stuff about skilled nursing facilities before, then you may have heard me talk about how therapy services are some of the most expensive services that are provided in a skilled nursing facility, which is why we have to make sure that we are justifying our value and our worth. And I was able to sort this chart by median hourly wage, and that definitely is fairly true. Some of the folks above us are what you would expect, which are physicians, internal medicine physicians, pharmacists, finance managers, executives, general and operations managers, computer and information system managers, and then you have speech therapists, PTs, purchasing managers, and then OTs. Those are the top paid employees in skilled nursing facilities, according to these national averages. And loosely, those numbers do line up with AOTA's Workforce Survey, which reports that around 40% of OTs are receiving between $41 and $50 an hour. And to finish out our data, the AOTA Workforce Survey reports that around 10% of practitioners work in SNFs. So for all my academia friends and the lovers of research out there, that data was for you. But it paints a pretty interesting story about the role of nursing homes and skilled nursing facilities in the U.S. Now to answer your question, what is the difference between a nursing home and a skilled nursing facility? And the primary difference between them is payment, so how the services are reimbursed, and the type of services that are provided. Now, of course, you know we have to start with the definitions from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Otherwise, this just wouldn't be the Amplify OT podcast. So these definitions come to you from the State Operations Manual. This is Chapter 7, which is Survey and Enforcement Process for Skilled Nursing Facilities and Nursing Facilities. So CMS defines skilled nursing facilities as a facility that's primarily engaged in providing residents skilled nursing care or related services for residents who require medical or nursing care, or is primarily engaged in providing to residents skilled rehabilitation services for the rehabilitation of injured, disabled, or sick persons. and it is not primarily for the care and treatment of mental diseases. And it's worth noting that CMS put that last part in bold. Additionally, they need to have some transfer agreements with one or more hospitals as defined by CMS. And it also has to provide a level of care that's distinguishable both from the level of intensive care furnished by a general hospital and from the level of custodial or supportive care furnished by nursing homes. For nursing homes, CMS has a chunk of text that describes it as a facility that is primarily engaged in providing residents with skilled nursing care and related services for residents who require medical or nursing care, rehabilitation services for the rehabilitation of injured, disabled, or sick persons, or, on a regular basis, health-related care and services to individuals who, because of their mental or physical condition, require care and services above the level of room and board, which is available to them only through these facilities. It is also noting that these facilities are not primarily for the care and treatment of mental diseases, and once again, that is in bold. There's quite a few other interesting policies that is in this document, so if you're looking for something fun to read, you know, in your spare time, then I definitely recommend taking a peruse through through the CMS document. So just to summarize again quickly, a skilled nursing facility is intended as short-term rehab. So it's a very short-term stay, specifically focused on rehabilitating someone. Nursing homes are generally for long-term care services. So those individuals live in that nursing home, meaning they typically do not have another home or apartment or somewhere else that they might be able to live. Now, that's not always the case. Some people will stay in long-term care for a prolonged period of time before they might return to their other dwelling. But for a lot of folks, nursing homes are kind of end-of-the-road stop. In skilled nursing facilities, the whole goal is to get you to a point of being able to discharge. So majority of folks discharge from a SNF in order to go back into the community. That could be assisted living, back to their home, apartment, wherever that may be. Versus in a nursing home, you don't really like discharge from long-term care. You can, and some do definitely, but oftentimes the reason folks may discharge from a long-term care facility is either, unfortunately, one, they can't afford it, two, the way you discharge from everything, which is, you know, death, or they may be leaving with a family member, or they may be have gotten to a point where they no longer need long-term care services for whatever reason, so they're able to go home. You know, whatever that may be, those are kind of the other times that someone may actually discharge from a nursing home. So after this quick break, we will talk all about how exactly these services are paid for in nursing home and skilled nursing facilities and the role of OT in these settings. I will also give some examples of language that you can use with your patients to help explain the difference between these two facilities, because especially if you've worked in a hospital, I'm going to guarantee you've had this experience where someone refuses to go to a nursing home due to concerns about the implications of and stigma around those facilities. And so we'll talk about some of the ways that I handle this with my patients and some ways that you can kind of work through that too. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take your occupational therapy practice to the next level? Then look no further than the Amplify OT membership. You heard that right. Amplify OT has its very own membership program. This membership is designed to help occupational therapy practitioners just like you stay informed about the latest developments in Medicare and advocacy. You will have exclusive access to resources, webinars, the Mastering OT Policy and Medicare course, Q&A sessions, plus the ability to DM me your questions and get answers fast. But of course, that is not all. As a member, you'll be part of a community of like-minded occupational therapy practitioners who share their expertise and offer support. So by joining the Amplify OT membership, you'll be able to stay up to date on the latest Medicare regulations and guidelines, learn how to advocate for your patients and your profession, connect with other OT practitioners and students to share your knowledge, and you'll have access to those exclusive resources and webinars so you can reach your full potential as an OT provider. So don't miss out on this opportunity to take your practice to the next level. Sign up for the Amplify OT membership today by going to the link in the show notes or amplifyot.com/membership. Don't forget to stay informed and be the change that you want to see in our healthcare system. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by MedBridge, your go-to resource for advancing your occupational therapy career and, of course, getting those necessary CEUs. If you are passionate about staying at the forefront of our field and enhancing your skills, MedBridge is a comprehensive solution. With a MedBridge subscription, you gain access to an extensive library of high-quality live and recorded courses led by industry experts. So stay up to date with the latest advancements in occupational therapy, explore evidence-based practice, and enhance your clinical skills. One reason that I really like and recommend MedBridge is because they have both intervention-based courses and policy and reimbursement-based courses, and that is a rare find in a CEU company. But here's the best part for our OT Amplifiers community. If you use the promo code AMPLIFYOT at checkout, you'll unlock an exclusive 40% discount on your MedBridge subscription. Yes, you heard that right, 40% off with the code AMPLIFYOT, that's AMPLIFYOT. This is a fantastic opportunity to save some money, elevate your practice, and support AMPLIFYOT. So don't miss out on this chance to supercharge your professional development and head over to MedBridge.com, use the promo code AMPLIFYOT, and enjoy the benefits of MedBridge while also supporting AMPLIFYOT and all the free resources that we produce here, like this podcast. So again, head to MedBridge.com, use the code AMPLIFYOT at checkout, and we also have the link for you in the show notes. And we're back. So, like we talked about, the main difference between nursing homes and SNFs is the reimbursement and the type of services that are provided, right? Skilled nursing facilities or SNFs are intended for short-term rehab, and long-term care facilities are intended for longer-term care, ongoing care that would be like that patient's primary living facility. Another very key distinction is that Medicare, and I'm talking Medicare Part A, will pay for skilled nursing facility care. And that is what is called the SNF Prospective Payment System, more commonly known as the Patient-Driven Payment Model, or PDPM. Nursing homes are not covered by Medicare. So Medicare does not pay for nursing homes. They may pay for some services that are provided to nursing home residents, which tend to be your outpatient therapy services or your Medicare Part B services, but Medicare itself does not pay for the actual long-term care like room and board, but Medicaid does. So, right, Medicare cares for the elderly, Medicaid aids those in need, and Medicaid is who will pay for long-term care. The other way that some folks will pay for long-term care is if they have long-term care insurance. Another big difference between SNF and nursing homes is the level of care that is provided. SNFs are intended as a rehabilitative center. So there is more intensive therapy. Often there is skilled nursing involved, which is different under Medicare's definitions from regular nursing. It also tends to be a little more hospital-like in nature, much more acute and medically focused. Versus in nursing homes, because this is more of a living situation, there is still 24/7 support, but generally the staffing is much lower, especially when it comes to nurses and aides. Individual may or may not receive therapy. Generally, this is for therapy practitioners, our Part B caseload, where you're billing Medicare Part B or outpatient services while seeing patients in long-term care. Because they don't qualify to be in the rehab side, so you see them under outpatient side and bill that way, just like you would if you saw them for like mobile outpatient in the home. And even when we provide therapy in long-term care, a lot of it tends to be kind of focused around that maintenance aspect. Sometimes it's rehabbing after weakness. It's fairly common that facilities will kind of do annual or biannual screenings of patients to see if they've made any kind of functional declines, those sorts of things. So in terms of how therapy or occupational therapy specifically may look different between a SNF and a nursing home is that majority of patients who are in a skilled nursing facility tend to receive therapy services because of what's required under PDPM. And it's also fairly likely that they are receiving multiple therapies, so some combination of OT, PT, and speech. Again, these patients are going to be more acutely ill.
they have just discharged from the hospital or potentially inpatient rehab. And so they have kind of a specific restorative goal in mind when they're at the skilled nursing facility, and we're focusing on where they're going to be discharging to. So that's really a big preparation and consideration of, you know, what kind of care needs to be in place. What does the home look like? What's the environment look like? What kind of equipment does the patient need? So there's a lot more of that kind of care planning involved, especially with skilled nursing patients, that you may not have as much with long-term care residents. When working with long-term care patients or those that are living in the nursing home, therapy services may kind of start and stop. Some patients may not really receive it at all. It really depends on the individual. A lot of times these plan of cares tend to focus on some of your very basic ADLs. Generally, folks that are in long-term care are not overly mobile, which is part of why they're in long-term care. It tends to be a lot of maintenance therapy, kind of screening, those sorts of things, which are generally your Part B caseload, right? Now, I do want to tell you all to be careful with your Part B caseload and with long-term care residents and the plan of care. Make sure you understand what exactly maintenance therapy is in order to avoid billing for services that you shouldn't be billing for. Make sure you really understand what is skilled and what isn't skilled versus maybe what could be done as part of a restorative nursing program. So especially with long-term care patients, you need to be paying attention to what is or is not skilled therapy, because it isn't necessarily always as obvious, because these patients don't always have like an acute illness or injury that makes it easier to justify the need for therapy like we have in skilled nursing facilities, where we tend to have a very specific diagnosis and justification for why skilled therapy is necessary. Okay, so we've reached that portion in the podcast where I promise that we talk about how to kind of have this conversation with patients. Now, a lot of my clinical experience comes from acute care, so I made a lot of discharge recommendations, and skilled nursing facility was one of the more common places that I would recommend for discharge. However, understandably, there is a lot of stigma around skilled nursing facilities and nursing homes. And oftentimes that stigma is that this is kind of the end of road for folks, that, as some of my patients would say verbatim, that is where old people go to die. And let's be honest, there is a stigma like that for a reason, because this does end up often being a place where folks who are unable to care for themselves or who are extremely elderly do live, and it may be the final place that they live before they pass away. So the idea that people go to a nursing home in order to die, well, that is definitely not the purpose of a nursing home, and it's definitely not the mission of a nursing home. It's understandable why individuals may be fearful of going to a nursing home and why there is often or sometimes anger with the therapy practitioner for recommending going to a skilled nursing facility. And so this is why I'm very careful when I speak with my patients, and I make sure to never call a skilled nursing facility a nursing home. And I do tend to take some time to explain that skilled nursing facilities are intended for short-term rehab. So this is not a place that we are recommending that they go to live. This is not intended to be a place where they stay for a prolonged period of time. That this is specifically for rehab. It's also generally been my experience that nursing homes tend to have kind of two separate sides to them, or separate wings or hallways, whatever you want to call them, where one is kind of very clearly the skilled nursing facility area and the other one is long-term care or nursing home. If I'm recommending long-term care, which usually this is not necessarily a conversation I'm having with the patient, because there are so many different options regarding where someone can go to live to receive care, such as assisted living facilities, independent living facilities, but it may be a conversation that I have with the case manager, I make sure to use long-term care, again, instead of nursing home. And there's two reasons for that. One, because long-term care can mean a lot of different things. But two, again, that term does not have the same stigma associated with it as nursing home. And this isn't an intention to try and mislead someone or tell them the wrong thing. It is that I want an individual, a family, to make a decision not based on gut emotional reactions to a term, but based on what type of support is honestly going to be best for them and their health. And if you have a patient that is really adamant that they will not go to a nursing home or a skilled nursing facility, whatever it may be, it's important to have that conversation. And we do this the same way we would discuss any other kind of barrier with any other task, right? We just use the skills that we already have, asking them what their concerns are, what they're fearful of, and validating and empathizing with those fears and concerns. Because again, let's be honest, there's not always a lot of great press out there about skilled nursing facilities. You rarely see a news article that's talking about the amazing care that someone received at a SNF. And especially after the pandemic, people are especially fearful of going to SNF. So I recommend that if you have a patient who's fearful, resistant, whatever, to going to a skilled nursing facility or going to a nursing home, have that conversation. Discuss why you're recommending it, what kind of care you think that they would benefit from, and why. Ask them, okay, really what I'm looking for is that intensive rehab. Generally, patients aren't going to always get intensive rehab in home health, especially with the significant reduction in therapy visits that home health agencies have been providing. And it's also important to kind of discuss that as well, because many people may have had home health 10, 15 years ago where it was the norm to receive a home health aid visit daily. That is not the norm anymore. It is not daily care from a home health agency. So having that kind of conversation and discussing what they're thinking is really important. We can also discuss, okay, well, you really do need 24-hour care. Here's why. Or we recommend 24-hour care, right? It's their autonomy, their choice to not have that. But discussing with them ways that we can make home safer, right? Everyone wants to go home. That is totally understandable. It always made me laugh when people say, I'm sorry, I don't want to be in the hospital. And I tell them, me neither, right? Like, I'm only there because I was getting paid to be there. No one wants to go to a nursing home. No one wants to go to inpatient rehab. Everyone wants to be at home where they're comfortable. And I think that's reasonable. And if they don't want to be home where they're comfortable, that's something we should probably also investigate a little bit further. So basically what I'm saying is that it's really important to have the honest conversation, to provide the education that a skilled nursing facility is for short-term rehab, where they'll receive more intensive therapy than if they were to go home or even an outpatient. It's also important to validate any fears or concerns, especially regarding nursing homes or the experiences during the COVID-19 pandemic. Oftentimes, folks are afraid that they won't be able to leave the nursing home, not in that they won't physically be rehabilitated, but that the nursing home will physically prevent them from leaving, as if they'll be entering into a locked unit, because that's another stigma that people think of. And this also kind of applies to assisted living facilities, that people think that they do not have the autonomy to leave. And I think it's important to have that conversation, that while they're in rehab and skilled nursing facility, they do generally have to stay at the facility. There are some occasional exceptions where they will let a resident leave the building, but that this is not a place that they can force them to stay, that generally that's not what skilled nursing facilities want to do. If anything, the trend is to get people home sooner and really kind of talk through how a skilled nursing facility discharge works and the type of care that they will receive. Because again, remember, if the healthcare system is confusing to us and trying to remember all the different levels of care, it's definitely confusing to our patients, and they are looking to us to help them navigate that journey and make an informed decision. So to summarize how to handle this with patients, it's use the correct terminology and encourage case management and nurses also to use the correct terminology, especially if you have a patient who is skittish about skilled nursing facilities. For patients who are like, "Ooh, I don't want to do that," or had a gut reaction, I would try and go talk to their case manager and nurse and say, "Hey, just so you know, they're really fearful of nursing homes. We've spent some time talking about the difference, and they are more agreeable to a skilled nursing facility. So just try and make sure to call it a SNF and not a nursing home." I also recommend taking the time to validate and empathize with their concerns, with their fears, and discuss why you're recommending a skilled nursing facility, what other options may be available to them, how they could potentially get that same level of support at home. This is all about helping them achieve their goals. And so if home is truly their goal, we need to identify why a skilled nursing facility stay is what will help them ultimately achieve their goal. My one last little note before I sign off is that occasionally nursing home, the term, is also used to define an assisted living facility. And while some facilities may both have long-term care residents and an assisted living facility, right, there are some facilities that have SNF, assisted living, and long-term care. These are two, again, different settings that tend to have different laws and also different reimbursement. For example, Medicaid usually does not cover assisted living, but covers long-term care. You may be able to receive long-term care in an assisted living facility, but they're generally specifically designated beds. So again, if you're recommending an assisted living facility or an independent living facility, make sure that you are using the appropriate terminology. So with that, I hope you have learned a little bit more about the difference between skilled nursing facilities and nursing homes. Please make sure to share this episode with your friend on Facebook groups, whomever you think would like or benefit from listening to this. So thanks again for listening, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss a future episode of the Amplify OT podcast. All right, I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Amplify OT podcast. Hey, did you know that I have a free newsletter? Yes, that is correct. In addition to the free podcast, the free articles, I also have a free newsletter, and you can subscribe using the link in the show notes. This way, you will never miss an update. If you love this podcast, I have two requests. First, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. And second, consider leaving a gift using the link in the show notes so that I can continue to support this podcast and provide this resource for free. Consider it a gift to your future self. And if you don't love the podcast, well, I hope you just have a fantastic day and forget I said anything about that review. Okay, folks, keep speaking out and speaking often, and I'll catch you next time.